So hello and welcome. This is Erica Glessing, and you are joining me on the Erica Glessing Show, where you receive 8 minutes of daily inspiration for entrepreneurs and light workers. And I'm pretty sure my next guest qualifies as both. Paul Moore wrote the book, The Perfect Investment. Create enduring wealth from the historic shift to multifamily housing. And I love that you're here with me, joining me as we have a big, huge month about wealth on the Erica Glessing Show. So welcome, Paul.
Hey, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks, Erica.
Yeah. And where are you? Where am I talking to you from? Where in the world are you?
I am in the Blue Ridge Mountains between Lynchburg and Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh, that sounds like a country singer's paradise.
Well, actually it is.
Right?
It's not my favorite kind of music, but it sure is a beautiful area. We moved here from Metro Detroit 19 years ago to raise our children, and we never left.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds pretty just hearing about it. I'm in Northern California, and it's very pretty here too, but it's not quite as lush.
Oh yeah, where are you in Northern California?
I'm near in between San Francisco and San Jose.
Oh, okay, great. I'm going to be there in a few weeks. My daughter goes to school in Reading.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Ministry.
Yeah. And I talked over you when you said that. Tell me the name of where your daughter's going to school.
It's called the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, and she's in her second year of a 3-year program there. It's in Reading, California.
Awesome. So why don't we start with kind of what lights you up, Paul, and what gets you inspired?
Well, that's a great question. I really want to change the world, and I think having a lesser goal than that would be a bad thing. I didn't have that goal for many, many years. I didn't really realize that I could impact the world, but I just realized, you know, almost all the major things that have happened on the planet have been started by one person, someone like, you know, Martin Luther King, or people, you know, who started whole movements, people in your area like Steve Jobs. And I thought, well, why not me? So I really just have my goal is to thwart human trafficking and rescue its victims. You know, this is amazing, but if you took the record profits of Apple, Nike, Starbucks, and General Motors, record year profits, doubled that number. That's about the annual revenue from human trafficking in the world. And I think that's absolutely appalling, unacceptable, and I want to do something to stop it. So we're trying to generate corporate profits to send to help organizations who are fighting those type of things.
That is fascinating. I'm curious too, because when you look at the why, like how the why fuels the capacity for expansion, that's just such an amazing why, you know?
Well, thank you. Yeah, it is amazing. You know, I like to believe that if I was alive in the 1840s or 50s, I would have been fighting slavery. Or if I was an adult in the 1960s, I'd have been fighting for human rights. But this is a human right too. And it's unbelievable how badly it's being violated for about 21 million people in the world right now.
Wow. So when you look at getting inspired by such a big project, how are you able to get into action on that?
Well, you know, that's a little bit tougher. I'm thankful that there are people who are already doing that. There's an organization called Exodus Cry, who's made a film called Nefarious, and it's documenting the evil of human trafficking. And there's another organization that we support as well that rescues victims and gives them spiritual rehabilitation on a 300-acre farm in the center of America. And so we are trying to generate corporate profits in much the same way Tom's Shoes allows you to buy a pair of shoes and they donate a pair of shoes to a needy child in a third world country. When people invest money with us, we look at that investment, what it generates in profits for us, and then we, without tapping the investor, without touching their money at all, we take money out of our profits to send that way, and we're very excited to do this.
So tell me a little bit about your, what kind of, and we're going to change topics to generating wealth from multifamily housing. What does that mean?
You know, Eric, I've been an entrepreneur for about 25 years, and I spent the first 20 years of it with a real problem, and the problem was right between my ears. I actually believe...
I had that same problem.
Really? I actually believed that it was wrong to be wealthy. I made $1.9 million in the year 1997 from selling my company and from income. And a marriage counselor sat across from my wife and I around that time. And she said, "Paul, I don't think you'll ever be happy until you live in a cave." And I said, "Well, thank you." I thought it was actually a compliment, you know? But I just thought it was evil to have wealth, and it was wrong to make a lot of money. And I just kind of thought it was a bad thing. And I think that really hurt me for many, many years.
Wow.
And now that I have a new mindset, and I can see how God could use me to generate wealth, to fight evil. Multifamily investing is a way to do that because it is it's in line with demographic trends in America. There's a large group of people in all age ranges who are going to rentals rather than home ownership. And so rental property is very profitable right now in a number of ways. And so we're generating profits, and we are, like I said, we are trying to become wealthy ourselves, but use that wealth to a higher purpose.
That's just pretty exciting. So if I'm just starting out as an investor, I look at a multifamily dwelling, but see where I live in Northern California, like it's like 20, you know, it's $1 million for the land alone. So yeah. How can I get engaged in multifamily housing investments as I'm starting out? Like, how would a person get started in that?
Well, one way to do it is to invest directly and buy a duplex in your town or even in another town. You could find good realtors you trust in places like Texas or Indiana. I know that there's a lot of those there. Another way is by crowdfunding. Crowdfunding with places like Fundrise, Realty Mogul, Realty Shares, CrowdStreet. They allow investors to invest as little as $10,000 or $20,000 in a multimillion-dollar project. That's another way. A third way to invest more money is with groups like ours. My company is called Wellings Capital, and we pool investors' funds together to go in and buy these apartment projects. So those are three ways.
I love it. You're so much fun to interview. I'm curious, when you look at shifting into a wealthy mindset, do you want to just share with us kind of, you talked a little bit about that you did shift. Do you want to just share with our audience if they're having any problems with shifting into a wealth mindset, what that might require?
I think we mix up sometimes greed from the acquisition of wealth. Just because someone acquires wealth does not mean they're greedy, does not mean they're going to use it to just feed their own ego or feed their own lusts and wants. When I made $2 million almost in 1997, I had the same goals that I had in other years where I lost money and didn't make any money at all. By the way, I have a podcast called How to Lose Money. And I really do. It's on iTunes. But at any rate, my mindset was the same either way. So I shouldn't feel guilty because I'm not indulging greed when I make a lot of money. I'm actually trying to use it to change the world, like I said. So if I'm not greedy, I shouldn't feel guilty, and I shouldn't be weighed down with this burden that society says that, you know, wealthy people are bad people. That's just not true.
So do you have any other, is there any like maybe other guiding message you want to share with my audience? And then we'll have you share how to get a hold of you. Is there like something else you'd like to share?
I can tell you that it's a long story, but I went from $2 million in the bank in 1997 to $2.5 million in debt 10 years later in 2007 because of the real estate crisis. And I can tell you that my family and I decided we had no other way out. We decided we were going to give our way out of debt. We began to give to organizations we cared about. We began to give to our church. We began to just give very, very generously, as if we were making $500,000 a year. And I can tell you that through one miracle after another, 13 months later, we were debt free. So it was an amazing journey.
Wow. Is that a book yet?
It's not a book, but I write about that on some podcasts. I talk about that on podcasts, and I write about that on articles on Bigger Pocket.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming. It was joyful to meet you and hear about your cause. Tell us again, if we wanted to support the nonprofit that you support, you can name that again if you'd like.
Well, our for-profit company is wellingscapital.com. My nonprofit that I like to support is Exodus Cry.
Awesome.
And they're in Grandview, Missouri. You can look them up, exoduscry.com or .org. I'm not sure which.
And I'll go ahead and put the wellingscapital.com on the website page for your podcast interview so people can follow up with Paul if you'd like to get investing in some of his multi-million dollar housing projects. So thank you so much for coming. It was awesome.
Thank you. It's been really great here, Erica. Thank you so much.